sin is. What's the definition of an assignment? And I haven't even have one assignment yet, tendency on us. And he made it successfully through all of them. Lo dia kama chibasa shel Avram Avinu olav hatolah. Lashna Mishnah quite like the Rambam. Lo dia kama chibasa shel Avram Avinu. It was simply to demonstrate to others what the greatness of Avram Avinu was. Okay, I mean, if you take a look at the Torah, just mentions one assignment. It says, So the only time the Torah says it was an assignment was only in one case. And here the Mishnah says that there were ten nisyonos. What were the ten nisyonos? That's the machlokas, really. Rambam, let's take the Rambam. The Rambam's like this. The Rambam says the first nisyon was Lech Lecha Me'atzecha. Okay? Lech Lecha Me'atzecha. Habez, the second one is Harav. Asher Nimtza Baretz Kenan, Bevo Hashem. Zahu Yado Ve'ezcha L'Goy Godel. And God told him he's going to make him to a great nation. V'zeh nisyon Godel. This is a big nisyon. That's the pasuk. Gimel, the third one was Hamas and Mitzrim olav, the lokach sarah lefarah. When the Egyptians took Sarah, they captured Sarah and they took Sarah to Paro. Adalah, the fourth was Ilochem ol b'dal melachem. When he waged war against the four kings. Hahei, the fifth one was Lokchol Hagar Leisha. When he took Hagar for a wife, Achash and Noash may hold me Sarah. After he gave up hope already from having a child from Sarah. Havov Amila, Shativa Bali Mea Zikna. Hazayin, that's the Mitzvah Mila. And even though it was very old, it was difficult for him to do. So that wasn't a sign. Hazayin, Chamas Melach Geror Olav Belokho Sarah Gantan. Alright, again, when they took Sarah, the Avimelach. Aches Girush Hagar Achare Ibanoso Mimeno, when he had to chase Hagar out after he had a child from her. Ates, the ninth one was Achokas Beno Yishmael, when he had to make Yishmael distant, chase Yishmael out of the house. Vuamro Yisbar Chalyera Beinachal Anav Alamasecha. The Torah tells us how difficult this thing was for him to do. But Omro, when the Pasuk says, this thing was very bad in the eyes of Avram. But he listened to God's commandments and he chased them out. Basiri, the tenth was a Akedah Yitzchak. Okay. Alright, that's the way the Rambam answers. There's Machlokes because others include, I just wrote them down, so I'll make it easier. Others included, basically, Nimrod is a question, whether that was really an assignment with the Kishon HaEish, with Nimrod. But some machlokas on that, on the story of Nimrod. The Ram doesn't bring down, the Ibn Ezra doesn't seem to accept it, if I remember correctly. And then there's another question about Misa Sara is a question, whether that was also an assignment. All right. So what's the question to be raised on this area? Whichever count you have, it doesn't really, I don't think that's the pertinent issue there. But the question is, the major ones they agree on. Rav, Sarah Taparo, Dala Malacha, Mila, Sarah Vimelach, Jira Shagar. Okay. So the question is, the question they raised on these ten nisyonos. Alright. Anyway, so the question is like this. Question is that the, an assignment means a difficult task for a person to accomplish. That's the definition of an assignment. God gives a person is only an assignment, a person is a difficult thing to accomplish. That's an assignment. The assignment is emotions are drawing in one direction, and he has to overcome his forces of emotions. And then that's considered that's next. Like for instance, Vayirov Boris. So there's a Rav Boris. So what can he do about it? There's nothing to do about it. Or Lekichas, in other words, Lekichas Sarah. So Sarah was taken. So she's taken. So what's he going to do about it? There's nothing for him to do. So what is the Nisayan over there? Or, okay, Goresh, Esam, Azos, Yes, Beno, I can understand there's an Nisayan. And the Pasuk says that Avraham Avinu had a tremendous love for Shmuel, after all, as his son. But nevertheless, Sarah said that the proper thing is to send him away. And he's losing his son. To send his own son away is a tremendous Nisayan, a difficult thing. Kadosh Baruch Hu told him that Goresh Hashem Azos Yes Bino, that's a very difficult thing. Vayera Ma'od Gadol Bein Avram. Avram felt very bad about it. Emotionally, it was very, very displeasing, distasteful to him. So this I understand, is a Nisayan. But the other things don't seem to be Nisayanos. If something goes wrong, why is that a Nisayan? What's a Nisayan? So somebody answered the question. Rashi answered the question by Rav. So what? Taking Hagar for a wife also is difficult. Why is that in the story? You have to take Hagar for a wife. So what? See, Rashi. I think Rashi and the Rambam are machaven to the same idea. That Vayhi Rav Ba'orek says first. It says. God told him, "Lefcha me'atzko." And he said, "We get having a sorry yishto as lod ben ochav as kol rechushim sharachoshim as nefshas v'acharon vayetsu lalechas arta kenan vayavo arta kenan vayavar ram ba'oret ad mekam shem ad elam mora." All right. Then God said, "Lazarchat and sarta zos." Then Vayatik Misham Bahora, Mikan Levesel, Vayat Olo, Besam Yom, Vay Mikan, Yusan Vashim, Vayisa Avram, Alakasa, and Eba. Okay. Then Vayirov Boretz. So Vayerit Avram, it's Rama Logger Shom, Kichoved Harov Boretz. Okay. So Rashi says, Rav Boretz. Rashi says, interesting. Rashi makes it more difficult than the Pusik. Because it's Rashi says, Ba'osu Haoretz Levada. That was the only land where there was a famine. When Asoso, Ketestin, and Yaharach Advarav Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, She'omah lo lelechas el Eretz Kanaan, Va'achshav, Nesiyo lotzeis mishimeno. And now he has to leave. Point to Rashi. Ramban wants to say it was wrong for him to leave, but Rashi seems to say, no, on the contrary, he was supposed to leave. All right. What was in the sign? How would you define in the sign? What was in the sign? The sign was that first God tells Avraham Avinu to go to this place, and then it turns out that this is the only place where there's a famine. strange phenomenon. So what does it mean? What was the Nisayan? The idea of the Nisayan over here is the same idea as the Nisayan in all the other ones. It means that a person by nature, when a person is, if a person would receive a tzivui HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so a person by nature wants to feel that if he's under Tzivah Kadosh Baruch Hu, now everything will fall in line. You see? Everything's going to fall in line. Now I'm under Tzivah Kadosh Baruch Hu, everything has to fall in line. A person's always waiting to feel that he can see from God how his life is in order. That's why people are always prone to say, "Yeah, this is Min HaShamayim." They mean to say that it's completely in line with the way their emotions perceive things. Everything should be completely in line. Everything should be wonderful now. So the Nisayan front. That's why Rashi says that God gave him a Nisayan. The Nisayan was Rashi says that was the only place where there was a famine. So Avraham Avinu, imagine if God tells a person to move to a certain land, so the first thing they would feel is, this is the place for me to be. This is the ideal place. This is what I'm looking for. The ideal spot to be. No, but Dafka, that's the place where there's a rod. Nowhere else. Everything's fine everywhere else. So a person, an ordinary person, would at that moment lose his complete faith in the Tzivui HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that this is going to, that this is the ultimate life for him, because things are going wrong. Things are going wrong. Things are going against his emotions. When things go against a person's emotions, he doesn't feel. He doesn't feel comfortable about what's happening. What a person wants in life is to feel that everything is going along with the way he, wants to see things. And then he feels that he's in line with a certain super force, super power. And it's the desire of every individual to be, to have such a kind of a life, where his life is going along smoothly, in line with the dictates of God. And this gives him a personal egoistic type of satisfaction. So the nesoyim for Avram was that precisely when he thinks that this is lech lecha, and the Rambam really alludes to it, because the Rambam says, he says, v'hu yodo yodo v'eschol l'goy gadol. First, the God told him, "Eschol l'goy gadol." So go to this place, I'm going to make it to the great nations. So now that means everything. Now certain wonderful things are going to happen to Avram Avinu. He says, v'zeh nesoyim gadol. That's the Nesoyan is, the Nesoyan for Avram was to be able to live under Tzivui HaKadosh Baruch Hu when things do not fall in line with the way he perceives them. That's the way that they should occur. People want to feel a sense of security that life is working out exactly the way they want, and that God is watching over them, and everything is going to be wonderful. See? But that's basically a return to the infantile. So that's not really has nothing to do with perfection. That's why the Rambam says that was the two types of nisyonos here. One type of nisyon is where a person is drawn to action. It's called to action, like by the milchamah with the dal malacha. So he's called to action. He has to go do battle. Difficult Messiah, his life is in danger, that's going to be battle. That's one type of Messiah. Or in the sign of Mitzvah Milo, he's old and he's weak, and a person has a fear when it comes to his own body. The Rambam explains in the Mor, he says that's the greatest fear and the most difficult thing for a person to overcome, because physically a person can take all kinds of tzaras, but by Eve. So you see, when Eve was physically affected, that was the greatest Messiah thing. So that's Mitzvah's Mila. An old man, he can be Sakona, he can be Mesukin, losing blood, he's weak. So that's an Nesoyan of action. But there's another kind of Nesoyan, a passive Nesoyan, an Nesoyan of Yehor. That's what Rashi says. Rashi says, Shema l'nasoso bo in yahar achadvara. Where the Nesoyan is that the person will lose his faith in the will lose his relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will detract from his relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because things aren't going the way he wants them to go. And that's why the Rambam says, when he talks about Hagar also, what was the name of Hagar? So he says, Ahei lakho Hagar le'isha achar she'no'ash me'holid nisar. It wasn't taking Hagar that wasn't a sign, but taking Hagar was really the final action that made him completely be miyayish, completely give up any hope of having a child from Sarah, which he wanted. Taking Hagar meant that's it. So far as God is not going to help me with Sarah, and that's all over. Now he has to take Hagar. That was the Messiah. The Messiah was that his life was not in line with the way the way a person would want to feel that it should be. He's under the Hashgachas Hashem. He wants to feel everything works out perfectly. That's the real Nesoyan. That's the real Nesoyan. So the ten Nesoyanis include two different types of Nesoyan. Yes. According to the Rambam's definition of Nesoyan, it's not a kasha. Kasha is, how could it be? See, that's going to be a machlokas of Rishon. That if you say, there's two possibilities, two ways to understand the sign, two views among the Rishonim, essentially. One view is that a Nesoyan wasn't a sign for Avraham Avinu. Nesoyan means, Nesoyan is through the eyes of the observer, which means to say that, of course, insofar as Avraham was concerned, and that's what the Rambam seems to maintain, that insofar as Avraham was concerned, None of these things want to sound like it. But so far as the person who reads the story of Avram, to him it's an assignment. And the sign is a test in his eyes. How would he feel? If it's a limud, it's a limud. According to the Ramban, the answer would be that it's true that Avram Avinu was on a very high level. But the sign is something that brings a person to a type of self-realization. Which means that when Avram Avinu saw the Rav Barat, so a thought crossed his mind. Just a second. Saint Kiyama, what's happening? What's happening here? You see, like a mystical kind of a thing. Things aren't going properly. Maybe this is not something wrong here. And he realized that mystical element in himself, and he was able to totally conquer it. That's the point of the Ramban. But the Ramban doesn't learn that way. The Ramban does not hold that way. It's Machlokes, the Ramban, and the Ramban. Whether Machlokes really is whether Avram Avinu could perfect himself further through the Nisayan, or whether the Nisayan really didn't perfect Avram. It wasn't necessary for Avram at all. It was only for the onlookers, for the observers. That was the purpose of the Nisayan. But that's the Machlokes. Yes. Concept, the main thing is the idea. What is the idea? The idea is like this. The idea is that if a person, most people are led to religion because they want to have a kind of life in which everything goes along with their desires. They imagine that this will be the perfect life. Now everything's wonderful, and that's a tremendous force, tremendous religious force that exists in man. The Yada says that there is no such thing. It does not exist. A person is driven because of that idea, and he will not find that satisfaction. He can't find that satisfaction in Yada. The Yada does not satisfy that concept. Yes. In other words, the fact is that Ayakarash Baruch Hashem Shlo Yaharer, Rashi says, to see if he'll be Mahar Achadvarai. So Levi's asking, but the Gemara says in Kedushin that that machshava roa ina kadosh baruch hu mitzraf lamaisa. A person intends to do something evil, even though he has the intention. Still in all, God doesn't consider it as if he did it. So you see, machshava doesn't count. Machshava doesn't count insofar as maisa is concerned. But insofar as a person's relationship with God, his machshava is the maisa. That's the very relationship. Okay. So over there, hero definitely counts. There's no question. That's a different kind of a hero. Matter of fact, the meaning more says chutz mihero avodah zarah. This would be similar to that type of thing. Because it means his relationship to God. What's wrong with hero avodah zarah? The person wanted to serve avodah zarah and he didn't serve avodah zarah. So why should he consider that he served avodah zarah? The answer is because over there, machshava is the very essence. Machshava is the very essence, the very substance of the issur, is that he's going away from God. So therefore, insofar as emunah is concerned, as far as his understanding of life and his understanding of his relationship to God is concerned, if a person's mahar, that's considered a maaser. That's considered a maaser. Okay, what Steve's mentioning is right. That here, Rachamim is Kadosh Baruch Hu is certainly not there. Yeah, they don't say Machshava Rain and Kadosh Baruch Hu is a maaser. Because God said to Moshe in Va'era, he said that Shmi Hashem was that one, so it was a criticism of Moshe Rabbeinu. Lo here, Rachamim is Kadosh Baruch Hu is a maaser. You are Mahara. Yeah.
One question
I have. Yeah. The death of Sarah is considered a Soyon because it came out that she died. We spoke about that. She died because of the Akedah. She died because of the Akedah. That that's what according to the Medrash says. Rashi brings it down that the thought when she thought about Yitzchak, that he was almost he almost was shechted as an ola, so she died. She died from the idea. That's it. Parcha Nishmasa. So that was a tremendous Nisayan. Here he comes back from the Yakeda, and his wife passed away because of the Maisa Yakeda. Yeah. So it was because of her attachment to Yitzchak that it caused it. It was a defect in her personality, but the fact remains that Avraham Avinu, he came home and Sarah passed away. Okay. His father says, who way Bona Mena was, that she was hoping that through Hagar having a child, this would cause her also to conceive. That's what the Sephora says it earlier. They see that she never really gave up. She couldn't give up on him at all. Because of that attachment, so she passed away. But for Avraham it was a tremendous anxiety. It says in the Shemos, by Moshe Rabbeinu, it says that by the Sneh, by the Mara of the Sneh. So the Mara of the Sneh is very interesting. There was a dialogue between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe on three, broken up into three parts of it. First part was Moshe Rabbeinu said to God, he said, Hinei Anochi Vol Bnei Yisrael. So what is his name? So then God told Moshe, Ekya Asher Ekya. And then later changed to Ekya. And then of course, Kosam Abnei Yisrael, Shem Lekev Asechem, Okay, Abnei Yisrael, Shlachan Yalechem, Zeh Shmi Lo, Omer Lezeh Zichu Lododa. Alright? So that would seem to be the end of the, that's it. Now he knows what to say. But no. The pasuk starts again. Leich vasafta ezikni Yisrael v'mat aleim. Arashim alakei avoseichem niru elai. Shmoz gimel. Kazan. Alakei Avraham Yitzchok v'yakov. Leimor. Pokod pokad ki eschem. V'esa osu lachem v'mitzroi. Okay? So, and then v'omar aleschem v'yoni mitzroyim. V'shem alakei lecho v'osu ato v'zikni Yisrael. And that's it. You're all set. Then Moshe Rabbeinu isn't happy. He says, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes the whole thing, Rishlach to save the case of Zrayim, and Shalish Mishkenta, fine. Vayan Moshe Vayomer, Vahein lo yaminu li, Vilo yishmu b'koli, Ki yomu lo nira lachad Hashem. Yeni yesu. So then you have, God says to Maza b'yadecho, Mata shlichei o'arzo, Vahil l'nochash, fine. Then Laman yaminu, then that's not enough. Another nace. The other nace is Hava Yodcho Bechai Kecho, and the third, that's the second nace, and then the third nace is if they won't listen to this os, the first os, they'll listen to the second os. And if they won't listen to these two osos, then you should take the water of the or, put it on the ground, it'll become dumb, they'll definitely listen to that. Okay. So really the dialogue between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu is divided into three parts. First was Mashemo. And then God tells him, Ekya Asher Ekya, and then he says that, Zeshmi La'olam V'Zezichu L'Dor, that's one. Lech Vasafta, okay, that's it. Then Moshe Rabbeinu says, then he says, Lech Vasafta, and he tells him what to do. He instructs him on how exactly to approach Jews. So, he tells him, he says, you should say, Poko Pekadati Yaskem, and they'll listen to you fine, that's it. That's the second. The instruction. Then Moshe Rabbeinu replies, but they still won't believe. So then he gives them the nisim. And then the last part of the dialogue is that Moshe Rabbeinu simply doesn't want to accept the mission. Doesn't want to accept the mission, and finally he submits and accepts the mission. Okay. Now, it's interesting. When God tells him, after the first part, where God gave him the Shem Hashem, Ekya Asher Ekya, or Ekya, then he says, Leif Vasafka Zikri Yisrael. So he says, you should say it like this. You should say, Hashem Elokei Voseichem Niru Ela Akari Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov Lema. Pakod Pakadati Eschem. V'esa Osi Lechem B'Mitzrayim. And Rashi mentions, What's this Pakod Pakadati Eschem? Rashi says on Pasukas, Hashem Elokei Lecha, they'll listen to you. So Rashi says, why will they listen to you? He says, Mikivan Shetomar Lahem Lashon Zeh Yishmu L'Kolecha. Since you tell them this Lashon, they're going to listen to your voice. Shekvar Simen Zeh Mosu B'Yodam Yaakov and Yosef. That this Simen was given over to them ready from Yaakov and Yosef. Shebeloshon Zeh Heim Negalim. That with this language, they're going to be redeemed. Yaakov Amar V'Lakim Pokod Yifkod Eschem. And Yosef Amar Lahem Pokod Yifkod L'Kim Eschem. So the same exact Lashon. So they already know that this Lashon. So therefore, you're going to come and you're going to use this Lashon Pakod Yifkod, so they'll know right away that you're the Moshe Yisrael. Okay? So, of course, I mean, this is not so simple. Because if they had this Simon already, so now anybody can come along and use Pakod Yifkod. Okay? An obvious question. Like the question that the Rambam asked about in the first part. That they'll say, what's his name? So God tells me to say Ekya Asher Ekya. So fine, so what does that prove? So anybody can make up any name they want. Alright. So the Ramban raises the question. Ramban says like this: the Yeshu Lecha Lisho Minayin Lemshi Aminu Shema Shomer Moshe B'Mesoros Hazekim Ozan. He also heard the same thing. So Ramban says like this. Ramban says that two answers. He wants to say that it's Avtocha. It's some kind of Avtocha. I don't fully understand his answer. He says, "Golav Yidul Snei Kadosh Baruch Hu Shlo Yovo Adam Yechazev Bahem Bekachet Tichon." That he says there was some kind of a Avtocha that was given over that nobody will come along and will falsify this message, this simon. All right. He says, but he says, I found in another place in the Midrash that Rabbi Choma bar Rabbi Chanina says that Moshe Rabbeinu was torn away from his household when he was 12 years old. Why? Because if he would have been raised in the house of his father, and he told them, and he went and he told them these meisim, they wouldn't have believed him. Why? Because they would have said his father gave it over to him. Because Yosef gave it over to Levi, and Levi gave it over to Kahos, and Kahos gave it over to Amram. That's why he was removed from his house at an early age. Okay? That's why, he says, the Medrash says, that's why when he came and he told them these things, so they believed him. Vayamein Om. Alright? So he says, what does it mean Yosef to the Ramban? What does it mean Yosef gave it over to Levi? Levi is also the son of Yaakov. Because of the Ava that Yaakov had to Yosef, he gave it over to Yosef, and Yosef gave it over to Levi. But the question still remains difficult. I mean, it's still not a foolproof kind of thing. I mean, so what? So he left at 12 years old, and he couldn't have heard it when he was 12. I mean, it's a simple thing. Poco Yifkot. What's so hard about that? All right. So I think it's like this. I think it's meant with Poco Yifkot. Yeah, it was a simon. It was a simon. But the simon wasn't just to use those two words. Using the two words, anybody can use those words. Not just a magical formula. They say Poco Yifkot. And they're going to listen. But what is the meaning of Poco Yifkot? What does Poco Yifkot really mean? Poco Yifkot means, see, the difference between Poco Yifkot and just Yifkot. Yifkot, you see, Yifkot Elokei Ruchos Chalbasa. Yifkot alone is not the message. The message is Poco Yifkot. Why? Because what does Poco Yifkot mean? The implication. That Yaakov said to Bnei Yisrael, "Poko Yifkot Elokim Eschem." He meant to say like this. He meant to say that I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to be brought about. But I know that it's from the Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He's going to redeem it. You see, and it's not something. This knowledge is not given over to man. Knowledge is not given over to man. The knowledge is the only thing we do know. We know the Mesorah that he had, the Mesorah that Yaakov had, was that it is within Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It stems from Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there will be a Moshiach Yisrael. Now, it's an interesting thing. You take a look at the nisim that were performed. What was the first nace? The first nace was that he took the matah and he became an achash. He became an achash. And then Moshe Rabbeinu ran away. Then he took his hand and put his hand next to his flesh. He took it out, and it was saras. And then the third ness was that he took the water of the ark. What were these three nisim? The three nisim I mentioned before. Three nisim were really ideas, concepts, ideas. The first ness was the ness, the difference between a nochash and between a stick. It means he came in the name of Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. How did he demonstrate this? What is Elokei Avram, Elokei Yaakov? It means the God that rules over all of nature. The God that distinguishes between the cells in a stick and between the cells in a snake. That one operates one way, one has one kind of properties, the other has another kind of property. That's the firstness. That was the firstness, the first idea. And that's why it says, that was the first thing. Then it says like this. Then God said, there's a second. If they don't listen to this idea, if this is not enough, that you present them this idea, that was the idea, of course, of Avram, that God is the source of everything that we see, all of nature, biological nature, inanimate nature. Put his hand back, and it was healed. That was the idea of Shchar Onesh. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the common name of Avram, of Avraham, of Yitzchak, of Yaakov, what does it mean? It means the God who is the one that meters out Shchar Onesh. And Chazal say, why should Moshe Rabbeinu have to be degraded this way, that he himself demonstrated on his own flesh the Tzaras, which is an Onesh? So Chazal say, because he said, Vehim Lo Yaminu. That's not the reason. It could have been, in other words, Chazal aren't saying that that's why he received that oath. It means that the oath, God could have created an oath which wouldn't be degrading to him. But why was it? Why did he have to suffer the degradation? Because of the fact that he said, "Hey, my Amir." Yeah, I understand. That is the onesh. The onesh, it's an oath. You can't. Ena mikri yotzei midei pshuto. Wasn't an onesh. The pasuk says clearly it was an oath. The onesh was that the oath had to be performed on his own person, which itself is a bezoyon ha'odom. It's a bezoyon for Moshe to show that his hand is tzaras. Why did it have to be done in that way, in that manner? The fact that the tzaras was on him was a simon that there was some criticism that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had. It was a criticism. Yeah. That's right. It means that in these things are implied an onus. That's not the essence. It was an oath. Any mikras, the essence of Shita wasn't an onus. It was an oath. And so he said. So which God am I coming? And in whose name am I coming? I come in the name of the God that is the God of the universe that relates to man in the way of Shchar Onesh. That was the second oath. Then the third oath was the oath of taking the water from the Nile and placing it on the Yabasha, which became dumb. So Rashi says, what did that demonstrate? What idea was that conveying? So Rashi says the idea that the Or was the god of the Egyptians. They worshipped the Or, because primitive people always worshipped the source of their sustenance. So the Or was the source of their sustenance, and so they worshipped the sun. The sun is the source of their sustenance. So therefore the Or was their god. That's what they worship. So God showed Moshe that this Yor is not a true force. It's under my domination. I'm the one that's in control of the Or, and it is my v'chol Elohei Mitzrayim Eseh Shvatim Ani Hashem. It is my will to demonstrate that I am the God, and that all these false gods are nonsense. That was the third concept of Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By the way, the second concept of Shchar Onesh, that was the idea. You see in Vayera. You see, basically, what were the three osos? The three, if you think of the formula, what is the formula for Yetzias Mitzrayim? What are the principles involved in Yetzias Mitzrayim? The principles are expressed in every one of these essays. The first principle is that God is in control of nature. That's the Mata and the Nachash. And that's all the miracles. All the miracles demonstrate that God is in control of nature. The second principle is the principle of Shchar Onesh. As a matter of fact, in Vayera, that's what it says, Vayomer, Vaydar Hashem Moshe, Vayomer Elov Ani Hashem. Right, that will come Moshe Himalov Ani Hashem, Vayra Lav Nitzel Yachel Vakel Shakai. So Rashi says, what does it mean, Ani Hashem? Ani Hashem always means one thing. Nemon Mashalim Sachatov, the Mesalchim Lafana. It means the God of Schar Vonis. Every time you have an Israel, Ani Hashem. Ani Hashem means Nemon Mashalim Schar. So the second idea, the second principle in Yetzias Mitzrayim is Chav Onesh. If the Mitzrayim weren't deserving of an Onesh, then there would be no Yetzias Mitzrayim. It was because they were deserving of an Onesh. And if Klal Yisrael wasn't deserving of a Schar, not themselves, but because of the Ovos, Rashi says. Because God promised the Ovos were deserving, so then there wouldn't be, then again, there wouldn't be any Yetzias Mitzrayim. So it was Schar for Yisrael and Onesh from Mitzrayim. That's the second principle of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the third principle was that God demonstrated, it was God's will to demonstrate to the world that he is the only force. He is the Borei Olam. And that is, that's the Pasuk says, Laman haros ches kochi, Laman saper shmi b'chol haaretz. That was Ulam, God told Moshe Tafar, Ulam bavu zos ha-marticha. Why do I let you continue to exist? There are three principles involved in Yetzias Mitzrayim. And they were all, if you think, you'd want to put together, what are the three ideas, the three principles of Yetzias Mitzrayim? It's these three ideas. These three ideas. And you see, when it's an interesting thing, Lashon of the Pasuk, it wasn't just an os. It was an idea behind the os. How do you know the Pasuk means, an idea behind the os? Very simple. Pasuk says it openly. It says, Vahoyo in Laman Yamin Gnarashon, Vayam lo Yamin Ulach, Vallo Yishm Ulakol Ha'os Varishon, Vayamin Ulakol Ha'os Acharon. What does it mean? What is the Kol Ha'os? The Kol, the voice of the os? The os doesn't have a voice. Lakol Ha'os, Kol means an idea. Lakol Ha'os means they don't listen to the idea of the first os, then they'll listen to the idea of the second os. So that was after. So there was a long formula, really. There was a long formula here, which God gave Moshe Rabbeinu before he sent them to Klal Yisrael on his mission. The first was the Ekya Asher Ekya. Okay. Then you had Pakot Pakaratim, and then you had the three Osos. That's the order. What is the Ekya Asher Ekya? The Ekya Asher Ekya is an abstract, like the Rambam says in the Moreh, he asks the same question. What do you mean they'll say what is his name? So he can make up any name. If they know the name, he knows the name. If they don't know the name, so they won't recognize what he's talking about. But the answer is, as I spoke about before, that the concept of Ekya Asher Ekya was a philosophical idea. It was an abstract philosophical idea that he taught them about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A metaphysical concept. Okay. Now, that was it. And as a matter of fact, the Torah concludes with the concept of God concluded with the concept of Zeshmi Le'olam V'Zeh Zichri L'Dor Dor. What is the concept of Zeshmi Le'olam Zichri L'Dor Dor? That even though that a person, that's the whole relationship between man and God. That he Zeshmi Le'olam, that really his name is Ekya Asher Ekya, which we can't perceive. The idea of God that Moshe Rabbeinu conveyed was not an idea of a definition of God, because we cannot have such an idea. But it was an idea that opened, that showed an approach. It showed an approach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu it opens up actually what we don't know about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It shows a person an idea, a metaphysical idea, which shows on the contrary the greatness and the remoteness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from our intellect. So, Zeshmi La'olam is Zezich L'dor Dor. Zeshmi La'olam means that's my name. But L'dor Dor, I can't, Lo Kamosh Ani Nikra Ani Nichtav, you can't call me by that name. Not allowed to pronounce Ekya Asher Ekya. You call me Aleph Dalad Nun Yud, Adni. But you don't say Adni either. If you just had Adni, so then the person would project some kind of an emotional projection. Adni, my master, project some kind of anthropomorphic idea. So that's why you can't use the Adni alone, and you can't use the Shem Hashem alone either. If you use the Shem Hashem, then you think that you understand the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The wrong implication. If you use Adni alone, so then you project some kind of nonsensical idea. So Zeshmi lo kamoshani nikra nirchta Zeshmi lo olam v'zezichu l'dor dor. He says this is what you should, after you explain to them the abstract idea, you must underline the fact that you cannot make reference to that idea. You can make, I mean, I'm sorry, you can make reference to it, but you cannot enunciate the idea. Because if you enunciate the idea, then you'll be under the false notion that you understand it, which is impossible for me to conceive. That was Zesh Milon Zezekel Gardo. That was the abstractus. So Moshe Rabbeinu basically came out, well, Moshe Rabbeinu went to Zikri Yisrael, and he taught them ideas, he taught them concepts. Then what did he do next? Next he said, Pocho Pokarati Yeshon. What does it mean? What was lacking? So he taught them an idea. What was lacking was, Pokot Pokanati was in reference to his mission. In reference to his mission. In reference to his mission, he used this phrase, Pokot Yifkod. What does Pokot Yifkod mean? Pokot Yifkod means that he told them, he showed them that the reason why I'm here is because this was the sod that was given over from Yaakov Avinu. What exactly that sod is, I don't know in detail. But I could tell you in a general idea what the sod was. You see, it's an interesting thing, but what do you see from this whole dialogue? Moshe Rabbeinu is going to call Yisrael. So, you say, if God wants to send him, so give me this the most miraculous thing, and that's it. What's the problem? What is this whole dialogue? The answer is that God wanted Klal Yisrael to follow Moshe. Moshe was supposed to demonstrate that he's the Mashiach Hashem. Mashiach wasn't Mashiach. Mashiach was Mashiach Yisrael. So how did he demonstrate to the Jews that he's Mashiach Hashem? He's Mashiach Yisrael. How did he demonstrate? Why should they follow him? See, Yadus maintains that there is a certain kind of knowledge that is only open to perfected individuals. And if a person is not perfected, he could never attain this knowledge. And the Zikni Yisrael knew this, because that's what it means as a Masorah B'Yodam. They knew this. Of course, they didn't have the level of knowledge that Moshe Rabbeinu had. But when Moshe Rabbeinu came to Zikni Yisrael, how did he impress them? He impressed them with the ideas, with the knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means they saw from Moshe Rabbeinu that he had a type of knowledge which is impossible for an ordinary mortal to achieve. That's why Yadus maintains, the Rambam, and the whole system of Yadus is that knowledge is not simple, ultimate knowledge is not simply a free flow. But ultimate knowledge is dependent upon the person's perfection. If a person isn't perfected, then he can't attain certain knowledge. That's the story with Acher. Acher, why couldn't Acher, our boy Nichnas Lepardus, but Acher could never make it. Why couldn't he make it? Because Tino Hesa Belivo means a certain imperfection which prevented him from attaining the true knowledge. So it means to say that when we see, why do we follow somebody? We follow, why should they follow Moshe Rabbeinu? Not because of Osos. As a matter of fact, Osos were done completely later. And as a matter of fact, further, God was critical of Moshe Rabbeinu when he said, V'heim le'yamein ubi. So when you read the Chumash, it doesn't make any sense. It was a good taina. What do you mean? Why should he say, V'heim le'yamein ubi? Of course, why should they believe him? Well, what's the answer? Why? What was the original plan of God? If Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't have said, V'heim le'yamein ubi, so what would God have done? God's plan was without Osos. So why should they listen to him without Osos? What's the answer? The answer is, exactly. They should listen to him because of the fact that they see here is a man of knowledge, a person who has knowledge that's unattainable. That's what it means there was a Masorah. There was Zikni Yisrael that had a Masorah straight from Yaakov Avinu. And these Zikni Yisrael were on a very high level. When they saw a person that came to them and taught them true ideas about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which they themselves hadn't fully conceived, they realized right away that a person to have that kind of knowledge has to be on an unbelievable degree of perfection. Tremendous level. If he's on that level, then we have good reason to follow him. We have good reason to follow that what he's saying is true. Now, what was the Pakod Yifkod? The Pakod Yifkod was really of the same nature. It's of the same Masorah. Pakod Yifkod means a person presents himself as a Moshiach for one of two reasons. Either it's a function of his egomania, and he's an egoistic person, and because he's overcome with egomania, he wants to be a Mashiach. I mean, there are many, all the false Mashiachs are always standing straight down through history. What was there? What caused them? What caused them was the fact that they imagine there is a part of their nature, a psychological problem. Part of their nature is out of whack. I mean, they're suffering from delusion, egomania. So, either that, or else if a person is a rational person, so then it must be true. That he says, this is what he says, this is what happened, so we have to accept. Pakod Yifkod meant precisely that. Pakod Yifkod meant that the Lashon of Pakod Yifkod was, you see, every false Mashiach comes is imbued with a desire to be a Mashiach. And that's the nature of a false Mashiach. He's imbued with that desire. He wants to be a Mashiach. I mean, a part of it is he wishes to express his fantasy of omnipotence. You see, that's why he comes. That's his motivation. Pakod Yifkod is exactly the opposite. Pakod Yifkod means that I am nothing, and this is simply the reason that I came is because Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that he wants to be Gol Yisrael at this point. So the sod that was given over from Yaakov Avinu and Yosef, Pakod Yifkod Olakim Eschem, that was precisely, that's what it meant, that they recognized when it came, they recognized the language of Pakod Yifkod. It doesn't mean the language was given over, the phrase Pakod Yifkod. Anybody could pick up a phrase. It means that the idea, he was able to make it clear to the people, to the Zikne Yisrael, that he came not because of any kind of imperfection in his nature, in which he wishes to be Moshiach Yisrael, to express his own egotistical desires, but rather he came because he's under the will, he's acting in accordance with the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Pakod Yifkod Olakim Eschem. That was the message of Pakod Yifkod. So therefore Moshe Rabbeinu was really armed with two things. He was armed with, first of all, the presentation of the abstract idea of God, which is the essence of Yadus. So the Yadus, Leida, Sheish Shem Alakam Motsu, that he's Mamsi L'chol Nevron. So he expressed that idea, which he showed himself on the philosophical level, that he had certain knowledge that's unattainable unless he's a perfected person. And the way he presented himself and his mission was to clearly demonstrate. He was able to clearly demonstrate that he didn't come because of any imperfection in his own character. He didn't have any imperfection in his own character. And he didn't come because he wished to be Moshe Yisrael, but he came because Pakod Yifkod, because his Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was the idea of the Pakod Yifkod. But then Moshe Rabbeinu said, "That should have been enough. That should have been enough." And actually, if the Zikne Yisrael were completely on the highest level, they would follow as soon as they saw that. There'd be no need to go any further. But that's why it says he was Nenash, because he says the Hainoni Aminu. He meant to say that it's true philosophically; it's right that they should follow, but still emotionally, he suspected that they're not really on that level, that this is going to be enough. If they're on the level, that's it, they'll follow, of course. But Moshe Rabbeinu says, that's why it was an onish. That's why it's a b'kirim l'kabigufa. Why was it an onish? What was it? The onish was that he suspected they're not really on that highest level, on such a high level, that they're going to just follow because of rationality. They're still going to say, who says? Just a second, this hasn't been proven yet. In order for a person to follow this type of an individual just based on ideas, he has to be on a certain level. The average person is not going to do that. He presents one of the greatest ideas. He's not going to listen. So that's why God said, okay, he said, I'll give you something that will satisfy them emotionally as well. Of course, it's with an idea. But the idea that he gave them also had an emotional satisfying element also, because it was an oath. It was an oath. So the oath, the combination of the oath and the combination of the osos, and also the osos demonstrating the three themes that are necessary for Yetzias Mitzrayim, that was ultimately what clinched it. That's how the dialogue works out between Avraham and Baruch. That was dialogue at a snap. In the Os was I wouldn't call it an onish. I mean, truth of the matter is, I mean, Chazal mentions an onish because they want to make it clear. They want to make the point clear. So they exaggerate. They say it's not really onish. It's a hint of criticism. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, why did Moshe Rabbeinu really say the Himlay Aminu? Why did he say that for? The answer is because of the last part of the dialogue. The last part of the dialogue is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Moshe Rabbeinu to go, and he refuses to go. He really didn't want to go on this mission, Moshe Rabbeinu. Didn't want to. And he tried as much as he could and fought for 7 days, the Chazal say, which means to say that a Navi basically cannot discharge his Nevuah, his mission, unless he understands it completely. Unless he understands it completely and accepts it. That's why you see, that's what the Ibn Ezra says by Yonah, that people think Yonah ran away from God. Well, no, Navi's not a fool. He didn't run away from God. He ran away from God. A child knows he ran away from God. The pshat is that Yonah, he says, so the Ibn Ezra says that anyone that asks that question, they never heard of Moshe Rabbeinu arguing with Kadosh Baruch Hu. They didn't want to accept his Nevuah. They didn't want to accept his mission. It means that a Navi can't function unless he understands and accepts his mission. Why, he's the one to go. Not just the... So Moshe Rabbeinu first went through all the different possibilities. Then in the end, you see, he had a resistance to go. And it seems apparent from the pasuk that the resistance wasn't simply an objective, rational thing. But there was some kind of dissatisfaction that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had with Moshe to the extent of his resistance is concerned. And because of that, he said, "Hainlo yamin abi." It was really because of his unwillingness to go that he said, "Hainlo yamin abi." That's why he was mad. So you see that God, when he sent Moshe Rabbeinu to call Yisrael, wasn't with us as an officer. We're not happy with us as an officer. That's why the Rav one time mentioned Chazal, Va'ered la'atzilo la'at miyam etzvayim. Va'ered means was a yerida for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To break his laws of nature is a yerida. We're not interested in Osas and Osas. And the whole shlichus was supposed to take place without any Osas and Osas. Just with ideas. Just to move the people by the ideas. Eki asher, eki and pokot pokarati. That should have been enough, really. So again, I mean, you see the idea. That's really why the Mashiach, the whole idea of Mashiach, that people think that all kinds of questions about Mashiach, they have a totally false notion about Mashiach. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was the Mashiach. There couldn't be a greater Mashiach. He was the Moshe Yisrael. The ultimate Moshe Yisrael. And there can't be a greater Moshe than Moshe Rabbeinu. You see this, Mr. Ryan? And you see that in his presentation of himself as the Mashiach Hashem, there was nothing really... There wasn't supposed to be even anything mystical. It had to be because he had to satisfy the emotions. And even those miracles were ideas, were concepts, were expressed the themes of Yitzchus Hashem, the three fundamental concepts or principles of Yitzchus Hashem. So today, I mean, you see when people have an idea of Mashiach, it's a completely, completely false notion. The Mashiach Hashem is really the one that the Rambam says that you see that a Mashiach doesn't have to do any osos, because you see that the Chachmei Yisrael accepted Ben Kuziba, Bar Kochba, and Bar Kochba didn't ask him for any osos, and also we don't find out Bar Kochba did any osos, and also interesting thing, the Rambam says, but what does it mean? It means that Bar Kochba was a person who had a deep understanding of Yadus. He was a Hoge B'Torah. He learned Torah and had a deep understanding of Yadus. And he presented himself as the proper individual who could be the Moshe Yisrael, was able to accomplish, and in line with the true ideas, and he was able to, and that's why they thought that he was Mashiach. But I want to make a point, something clear about that. If you take a look at the Rambam, where the Rambam mentions it in what he had the last Rambam in Hilchas Malachim, where the Rambam talks about Bar Kochba, talks about Mashiach. You see, but that's in line with what I get to say. Well, that's in line with what we're talking about by Avraham Avinu. That whole emotional fantasy of a person having that sense that now everything is fine, that he's in, that basically is something that stems from man's nature, from a low part of man's nature, his own sense of omnipotence, and that was the pakod yifkod was that Moshe Rabbeinu demonstrated to them, and that was the siman ha'yibayadam. It means that they knew he was able to demonstrate to them that he's not under the influence of such a concept. He's not under the influence of such an idea. You see, that was the idea. That was the same concept from Avraham Avinu. Same exact idea. And if you take a look at the Rambam in Mashiach, he says, "Va'al yala perik acharos ha'malachim halacha bay halacha gimel va'al yala daik v'shem malachim Mashiach tzarch lasos osus umofsim." But he has to do osus umofsim. And I show you from the Chumash. You see, from Moshe Rabbeinu, wasn't supposed to be Yosef Mofsi. U'mechadish dvorim ba'olam, u'mechaya mason, v'kayotze b'dvorim elo. Okay. Ein adavakach. Sharei Rabbi Akiva chochom godol mechach mei mishno haya. V'hu haya nosei kelov shel ben kuziba ha-melech. V'hu haya omar lov shehu ha-melech ha-mashiach. V'dima hu v'chol chachmei doro shehu ha-melech ha-mashiach. And he and all the chachmei Yisrael thought that he was a melech ha-mashiach. Then the Ram says a strange thing. Ad sheneherad ba'avonos. And then he continues, says, Kivan sheneherad no delahem she'eno. I mean, of course. I mean, what is it? What is the Rambam? What is the Rambam saying? What is not necessary? Not necessary. He just, as a matter of fact, if we were writing the Rambam, we'd say the Dima Hova Kol Chachmei Darosh Yodam HaMashiach, and there's nothing more to say. Of course, we know he died, and that's it. What's the purpose? But the Rambam means like this. See, Ad Sheneherad Ba'avonos means it's another idea the Rambam is saying, that people are very mystical when it comes to Mashiach, because it's an area where they can project the mysticism. Just like the Nisalin of Ayi Rav Boretz, same kind of a thing. That people are under this fantasy, this delusion that everything's going to go smoothly. What is the ultimate? That's why you have the Mashiach fever. Not like the Rambam says that the only reason Chazal wanted the Mashiach was they were able to sit and learn. That was the able to sit and learn without the without tzar, with a minimum of distractions. But that's not why everybody is so interested in Mashiach, because They're not on that level that they want to learn so much. It's simply the fantasy of everything is going to go my way. Everything is going to go my way. It's against the Nisayon of Avram Avinu by Hebrew of Baruch, and it's against Pachod Yifko. It's everything's going to be in line with the way. Finally, everything's going to be in line the way I want it and the way I deserve it. You see? So right. So what the Rambam is saying is like this. Ram is saying that they all thought that he was a Melech HaMashiach. See, the Melech HaMashiach, he says, Ad Sheneherad Ba'avonos. It is the concept, Mashiach himself is not an idea that a person, some person at some time, will realize that he is the Mashiach. See, that's a fantasy. That he is a special person, and he's Mashiach, and now he's going to go. That's not the way it works. The Mashiach Hashem is a person that's on a perfected level and is capable of accomplishing what the Torah wants him to accomplish. You see, the Rambam says before like this. The Rambam says, "Ham Melech Mashiach Haslamod Ulahachzer Malchus David LeYoshna." Phone and Mikdash. Makav says this. Because in Kol Mishpatim Yom Kishayim Mikodem. Makriven Kabanas. Osi Shmita Siyova. Anyone doesn't believe or doesn't await his coming, he's not just denying the Nevi'im. The pasuk of the Torah going around. What does the Torah say anything about Mashiach? It just says that the Shavat Hashem Lekecha. It says the Adate. It says Vashevosel of Avecha. It says you'll do tshuva. The Adate Yom. It's in Nitzavim. Vashevosel of Avecha b'chol agoyim asher idichor Hashem Lekecha shalom. Means you'll do tshuva. You'll do tshuva. So what is the? That's not Mashiach. What is the Ram talking about Mashiach? It doesn't sound like anything about Mashiach. It's a pasuk in there. When people read that pasuk, they don't think of Mashiach. It's tshuva. You'll do tshuva b'chasayim. What does that do with Mashiach? The answer is Mashiach. The phenomena of Mashiach is no different, really. Doesn't have to be different than any other phenomena that a person goes through with his own bechira. If a person can get up in the morning and he can put on tefillin and daven and he can learn Torah, why can he do that? He can do that because he exercises his bechira. That's all. Simple. Because God gave him bechira and he can exercise his bechira. If a person can help somebody else learn Torah, it's because he exercises bechira. So the Melech HaMashiach is nothing more than that same type of activity, but on a grander scale. It means he'll be able to not only teach one person or 10 people or 100 people, but he'll be able to teach all of Klal Yisrael. That's all it means. Now, that's why the Rambam says that Dimuhu v'chol chachmei doro shehu ha-melech ha-mashiach ad shen neherag ba'avonos. It means to say that if they didn't really make a mistake, if he really was not a Baal Ovon, if he wasn't a Chote, he could have been Mashiach. He could have been. Why couldn't he have been Mashiach? Why not? If he wasn't a Chote, he would have been Mashiach. You see, it's not that Mashiach is a mystical person that comes along at a certain time. It means any person, if he was not a Chote, if Bar Kochba didn't fall through in the Sionos, and if Klal Yisrael didn't fall through, then they would have brought the Gula. The Gula can be brought simply through the exercise of people's Ashgacha, the leader's Ashgacha, and the people's Ashgacha, and that would be Mashiach, and that's it. You don't need anything strange. You don't need anything mystical. It's not a person that gets up in the morning and notices that he's a Mashiach, thinks he's a Mashiach. This is a crazy man. It's talking. Exactly. It's not a predestination. That's why the Rambam says clearly that the Dima Bavanos. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to accomplish that because he wasn't on the level. Kivon Shenerag no dolem she'eno. So then that's what the Rambam means. Kivon Shenerag no dolem she'eno. What does it mean? No, exactly. Of course, what the Rambam means is that since they saw that his whole movement dissolved, so then they saw that this can't be, he wasn't able to do it. He wasn't able to do it. It's going to be somebody else in a future time. That's what the Rambam means. That's what says Kivon Shenerag. The very concept of Mashiach, the only reason